For more now on the administration's plan for helping troubled automakers and reviving the economy, we turn to David Axelrod. He's a senior advisor to President Obama. David, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you.
Why did the president scrap the idea of a single so-called car czar to oversee the reorganization of the troubled automakers and instead move to some sort of panel of experts?
Well, we've had a working group for some time within Treasury and our economic council to deal with this issue, and we feel we have a team that's ready to go. We feel good about our ability to deal with this issue.
You know, certainly you in the White House understand the benefit of concentrating power as opposed to having a panel of experts. Panels tend to be deliberative, which can be a good thing because they take their time, but they can also move rather slowly, and that's bad news for an auto industry that's teetering on the brink.
No, we well understand that. We've got people who are focusing on this issue within the administration. So it's going to get the kind of focused attention that it needs.
David, I want to share with you at least one interpretation of this decision to move to a panel instead of a car czar within the industry. Some see sort of a doomsday scenario written in this move, the idea that the White House may have to tell one of these companies that they're not viable, that they're not willing to provide federal funding because they don't like what they see in these restructuring plans, and it's better to place that kind of power in some sort of panel of experts instead of a single individual.
Well, I think that people are reading too much into a simple decision. I can only say, Michelle, that the president's position is what it has been, which is that we need a strong, viable auto industry in this country. But to get there, there's going to have to be some significant restructuring, and that restructuring is going to involve sacrifice on the part of not just the auto workers, but also creditors, shareholders, and the executives who run the companies.
The president spent a lot of time on the campaign trail talking about change, and one of the things he wanted to change when he arrived in Washington was to introduce a greater bipartisan spirit in that relationship between the White House and the lawmakers on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. It seems that the White House, or the president in particular, ran into a buzzsaw. Not a single GOP vote for the stimulus in the House. The Commerce nominee who says no thanks because of ideological differences, I'm talking about Judd Gregg there. Is the White House less committed to this grand idea of bipartisanship going forward?
No, certainly not. And I have to tell you that I think that you can read bipartisanship very narrowly, or you can read it the way we do. Bipartisanship isn't just measured by the number of votes you get. It's also measured by the support you get elsewhere. We have the support of some of the leading Republican governors in the country, Governor Schwarzenegger, Governor Florida, Governor Crist supported us. So we put together a broad coalition, and I think this was a good start. Old habits die hard. We understand that, but we think we made progress here and opened up a dialogue that will be productive for the future.
When you read presidential biographies, and I have a feeling you probably have read more than a few as you prepare to take this position, one of the things that is consistent throughout many of the modern-day presidential biographies is that they talk about the important lessons that they learn in the first 100 days, often within the first few weeks, hard lessons, often lessons that are learned as a result of making mistakes. What are the hard lessons that this administration has learned coming out of the gate?
Well, I mean, I think that there are a few. The president spoke to one when he addressed the problem with some of our appointments, and that was in his eagerness to get people who were, in his view, the best on their issues, the best to push their issues forward. You know, we overlooked things that we shouldn't have overlooked. You know, I relearned a lesson that I learned a long time ago and briefly forgot, which is that the conversation in this town in Washington is often much different than the conversation people are having around their kitchen tables. And that was certainly true on this debate over the Recovery Act. Here in Washington, the focus was on who's up and who's down and what this Republican is saying or that Democrat is saying. And around the country, people were saying, I'm losing my job, I'm worried about my home, I'm worried about my health care, and this economy is getting worse, and of course it is. And what are you guys going to do about it? And what it reminded us was that we should never forget that the real North Star is that talk around the kitchen tables. We're here to serve the American people who often are way ahead of the politicians in Washington.
But the Republicans who failed to vote for the stimulus package, they serve at the pleasure of those people sitting at those kitchen tables. And
they do.
They didn't get behind you on this.
Well, I mean, that's really a question for them. The main thing now is that it works. I think we all have a real interest in seeing this economy turn around.
David, I want to ask you, before I let you go, something about the stimulus package. There's something that I'm trying to understand about this plan and its focus on infrastructure spending and shovel-ready projects, because the White House Budget Director, Peter Orszag, and I've asked him about this also, in his previous role as Congressional Budget Office Director, had serious questions about this kind of spending. He wrote at that point that large-scale construction projects of any type require years of planning and preparation, even those that are, quote, on the shelf, generally cannot be undertaken quickly enough to provide timely stimulus to the economy. So he was saying one thing, then promoting just the opposite now. Could you explain that?
Well, I'd say a few things. First of all, Peter also believes that 75% of what we've appropriated here will spend out in the first 18 months after the bill is signed. But some of these infrastructure projects will extend beyond the 2 years, and I think that's going to benefit our economy, because I don't think we're going to be out of the woods completely in 2 years, and this is a good hedge against that. You know, the things that are most likely to break late are, for example, the high-speed rail projects that this is going to create. So, and those are going to be important, not just in terms of stimulating the economy, but in terms of the future of the country. So I think it's a good mix. I think it provides a major burst now. Some of it will unfold a little bit later, and that will create a gentle transition from the stimulus to beyond.
David Axelrod is a senior advisor to President Barack Obama. David, thanks for being with us.
Always good. Thanks, Michelle.